This episode of True North Country Comics is brought to you by You Are My Christmas, a brand new song from Canadian songstress Stephanie Beaumont. Whether it's decorating the tree and wrapping the presents, baking up a storm, or welcoming friends and family from near and far, Stephanie Beaumont captures the spirit of Christmas in her new song, You Are My Christmas. With this song, you're invited to share Stephanie's Christmas wish, that everyone has someone who's their Christmas too. You Are My Christmas is now available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Spotify, Deezer, and wherever good music is sold. Get yours today. Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. It's December 18th, 2018. I'm John Swinimer. On this special episode, I present the Getting Into Comics panel from WitCaf 2018. Hosted by Andrew Young of the Geek Hard Podcast, the panel included Gibson Corder, who's a comic book artist-illustrator working out of the Raid Studio in Toronto; Greg Hyland, who's a writer, illustrator, designer, and storyboard artist for the LEGO Group. He recently published the book Monster Atlas, which he co-authored with Glenn Kay and illustrated as well. And Matthew Von Volte. He's a published author of numerous articles as well as two children's works, a history book, and an educational guide on the use of comic books and experiential learning for parents and teachers. The panel discussed a variety of topics, including how they got into the comic book industry, tips for getting comic books published, what works or doesn't work to get comic books published, how conventions can help, the benefits of the internet in the creative process, knowing how to do sequential art versus illustrations, and the benefits of attending an art school. Before we go further, here's some of the current news about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. Kirkus Reviews selected Gothic Tales of Haunted Love from Bedside Press as one of the best books of 2018 in the indie category. The review states, "This anthology pays tribute to the Gothic romance style seen in comic books from the 1960s and 70s heyday, updating them in fresh ways." You can read more at kirkusreviews.com. Pace Magazine published their list of the 20 best kids comics of 2018. The list included at number 3, The Nameless City, Volume 3, The Divided Earth by Faith Erin Hicks. At number 15 was The Mushroom Fan Club by Elise Gravel. You can read more at pacemagazine.com. CBC Books published their list of the top 16 Canadian comics of 2018. The article included the following books and their creators in no particular order: Godhead by Ho Che Anderson, XTC 69 by Jessica Campbell, Brat by Michael DeForge, Son of Hitler by Anthony Del Call and Jeff Moore, illustrated by Jeff McComsey, Woman World by Aminder Dhaliwal, Dirty Plot, The Complete Julie Doucette by Julie Doucette, Speak by Laurie Hulse Anderson and Emily Carroll, Feast of Fields by Sean Caramaker, Roaming Foliage by Patrick Kyle, Young Francis by Hartley Lynn, Manfred the Man by Caitlin Major, illustrated by Kelly Basto, Gothic Tales of Haunted Love, edited by Hope Nicholson and S.M. Bieko, The Vagabond Valise by Cirrus, Somnambulance by Fiona Smith, Surviving the City by Tasha Spillett, illustrated by Natasha Donovan, and Red River Resistance by Katharina Vermette, illustrated by Scott B. Henderson and colored by Donovan Yasiuk. You can read more at cbc.ca/books. And now, here's the Getting Into Comics panel from WitCaf 2018.
All right, everybody, welcome to the author breakout panel. We're here with Gibson Corder, Greg Hyland, and Manfred J. Von Volte. I'm your host, Andrew Young. I am the host of Geekard, a weekly live streaming internet radio show that's every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on realityradio101.com. It's also available as a podcast at geekartshow.com, where we interview a lot of different cool people, including comic creators. And so this is the author breakout panel to discuss how to break out into the comic book industry and get published. And so I thought we'd start off by just hearing from each of you on how you guys got into comics.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Okay.
Let's start with you, Greg.
Oh, all right. I thought this panel was how many swear words do you know?
Right. Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect for the kids.
Yes, I thought it was strange. Anyway,
it's a family show. Okay. Yeah.
I got published mostly because I did it myself.
Right.
I have worked for publishers, but mostly I started out as a self-publisher. Which has its, you know, good things and bad things. And it helped me get into being published or being hired by other companies and
right.
doing things. So I've done everything, but mostly I got in by doing it myself.
Okay, all right, cool. And what are some of the, like, what's some of the titles that
Started out with a comic. I self-published a comic called Lethargic Comics Weekly,
okay.
which eventually became Lethargic Lad.
Oh, okay.
And I still do it, although now I do it on the internet as a web comic. So at lethargiclad.com.
There you go.
But we started out as a black and white comic that was, you know, distributed like every comic, and I started out pretty much when like the sort of self-publishing boom happened in the early 90s. So at the same time, we came out the exact same time as Bone. So all those kind of guys I sort of came up with, although they became popular and I didn't. No.
Well, hey, you know, you've worked with the Lego lines and things like that, doing illustration for that. So, you know, it's not like you're hurting. You're doing all right.
All right.
Fair enough. So, Gibson, how did you get started in comics?
I probably have the most unusual story about getting started in comics. So I've drawn all my life. I think that's, you need to do that, obviously. You have some talent. But I followed the comics industry and still do very, very closely because obviously I'm in it now. But at the time, a gentleman named Frank Quitely, who was an artist that was quite popular, was my... like God, right?
Oh,
this guy was
amazing.
So, but this was before he broke in. He'd only really done like Batman Scottish Connection. He was just kind of starting.
Right.
And I was really onto his stuff early, and I found via the internet a little tiny company in Scotland, a little marijuana comic that he'd done some work for when he was trying to break in. And so I emailed them just out of the blue. I found their little tiny crappy website and said, please send me anything Frank Quitely's done and a bill and I will pay it, and you know, that would be great because I can't tell. And I got an email back the next day saying, sure, but why? Why would you want that? And I said, well, I'm an artist and he's a huge inspiration. They said, oh, could we see a couple of your scans of your stuff? So I sent a few pictures over. It turns out the guy that I was liaising with, because they were so small press, that was the editor. And he said, oh, I like this. Can I send you some scripts that Alan Grant had written? One-page gag strips.
Wow.
And Alan Grant, for those of you that don't know, does Batman and Anarchy. And I recognize his name immediately. So I got supremely lucky. And I picked the one script that I thought would be an ongoing serial, because I didn't want to just do one and done.
Right.
I picked kind of like the Judge Dredd. It's a strip called War on Drugs.
Oh, okay.
And I did this little one-pager, and then they liked it, and they gave me another one. Next thing you know, every issue, I had a couple of pages in this little comic in Scotland that dealt with marijuana. And my guy was the DEA agent that tried to bust them up all the time.
Oh, that's great.
So that's how I got started, and then leveraged that into, suddenly I was working with industry peers, and you know, Frank Quitely was drawing the cover of this little book that I'm in, and it got me a lot of attention early.
Yeah.
And luckily, they did not give me more than I could chew. They didn't give me like 22 pages and say, here you go, draw this. It was like 1 and 2 page gag strips so I could really hone my craft.
Right, no, totally, yeah. It's also interesting that it's like your big break in the comics was in a whole other country. Was it across the Atlantic?
Yeah, that's pretty common, though. And to this day, I get a lot of my stuff published in the UK.
Right, yeah.
Which it's really hard to get it over here, which is bit of a curse for me, but
yeah.
I'm still pretty blessed to be working over there.
That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
And Manfred, you're involved a lot with comics and education, right? Using comics as an educational tool, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So what is that? How did you get into that field?
Well, I think I got into it at sort of very young. I didn't speak English until I was 7 or 8. And one day, I mentioned this story to a few of you, that I used to go to the store a lot and buy a lot of candy and pop, and the dentist bills were getting rather high. And one time in our mall, someone opened up a small store selling romance novels. And this is not anything I'm going to read. But I noticed in the corner there's a comic book sold here. So I thought, okay, you know, this is different, and I don't think my mom will mind me spending the money on this instead of candy.
Yeah.
So I started buying comic books, and I started reading them and reading them and reading them. And I noticed my vocabulary and my own ability to write grew exponentially. And I look at the report cards. My mom, you know, she saves everything. So you kind of look back and you read them. And the English marks just got better and better and better. And
then right.
Sometimes, you know, you teach what you know. And when I got into teaching, I've been teaching language arts for about 18 years. And I kind of went back and I thought, wait a minute. There's students in my class who admittedly are telling me, I can't read that well, I can't write that well. So I said, why don't we try comic books again? And I started having to make them. And it's great if you're an ESL, kind of like I was, you know, you understand that you could draw something and write something and then look at it the next page and then go back.
Yeah.
And then I just kept wanting to write and write and write. And now, you know, I've been teaching for about 21 years. And I do this program called the Comic Book Project Canada, but I also do it at my own school, St. Leo in Brooklyn. And one of the first things I always tell the students, you know, they're all sitting down, they're all very excited. I tell them right off the bat, I can't draw. They're all shocked. And I said, I come at it from the other end, from a writer's point of view. And my big thing with my students is I tell them, never give up. Never give up. Always try, always try, always try. And when I did my first couple of books, one was a history book, one was a children's book, I think I must have mailed my script out to 50 publishers. 50. And I still kept all the letters of rejection, you know, that came back.
Yeah.
But finally, all you need is one to say, okay, we're going to do it. And so I went with a Canadian publisher at first, and then now I kind of figured, well, to do it independently was a little bit better go at it. But it's been a lifetime of trying and learning and not winning all the time. Not winning all the time,
right,
you know.
Right.
But finally, you need one or two people to say yes, and then you can see the long-term success with your students. So that's how I come at it. Yeah.
Totally. Okay, that's cool. Now, with the world of publishing, you brought up self-publishing at the beginning there, Greg. And now you do your Lethargic Lad strip as a web comic. Do you guys feel that web comics is probably the best way for someone to get into the comic business these days, like to at least learn their craft?
Yeah, because you don't pay a lot to do it, and you're getting your stuff out there, and you've got, because when you're doing comics, really kind of what you want is an audience. You want someone to read what you're doing, and you can put something on the internet and someone's gonna see it. Maybe 5 people are gonna see it, maybe 5,000 people are gonna see it. That's the one thing. But I mean, when I started out, in like 1988, I started doing photocopied comics, and that was the way to do it. And
right.
You know, we went around to stores to try and get them in. And I just think if we had had the internet the way that we have it now, back then, you know, I would have done things way different. And it's great because you can get your stuff out there without spending a ton of money. And I've known so many people that have spent way too much money getting their books published. And you know, because back then you had to like get, say, 1,000 copies to make it worthwhile to print. So people would print 1,000 of their comic book and maybe sell 50, get orders for 50, and then they're stuck with 900 comics. And now things also, there's print on demand, so there's ways that you can print in low quantities and not have to pay ton for it. So I mean, the opportunities are way different, but starting with the internet, potentially you can get your stuff out relatively cheaply.
Right, okay, cool.
Yeah, I agree. There's no barriers to entry on a webcomic, really. Like you don't have that $1,000 print bill or whatever, and you can pick up a market, and if suddenly you're getting a lot of eyeballs, then you're like, hey, maybe I'm onto something. What you can often find, and some of the other folks at Raid Studio that I work with have done this too, is, you know, people love it on the web, but then they want the collected version. They will buy it later because they want you to sign it at a show. And, you know, I know Ramon has Kookaburra and some stuff like that. And it's, if you get a nice big following online, or even a small following that's fairly loyal, then you can do the print on demand or have something, even though they've already read it, they want a copy to take home or to flip through. So I think it's a good way to go.
Right, definitely. And, how about yourself?
Yeah, for me, I found that too, again, from the writing end of things, is that just keep writing. I'm always writing, and you know, you look back and you look at some of the stuff you did publish or didn't, and you go, ooh,
that was so good.
and another times, really strange stuff will happen. I was at one school, and the principal said, Manny, 10 reasons why kids should read comic books. Can you get it to me by the end of the day? We're going to put it in the school newspaper. Okay, so, you know, got a couple hours to go, and I did these 10 reasons, and I had met Neil Adams at a comic shop, and you know, I got a nice picture of him shaking my hand. And I said, all right, 10 reasons, and then I gave it to him, and I said, you know what the heck, I'll put it up online somewhere. Interestingly enough, this is the most viewed piece I've ever written. And it was just a fluke, and the internet's got a weird way of replicating. And I'll do a search on that title, and places I've never heard of, been to, or publications will have put this out. So it's just a matter of trying. I think some people are, you're very scared to put something out because it may not work, but I tell somebody, I say, just keep trying. You never know.
Right.
You never know. This is a very hopeful statement, I think, for creators.
Totally. And you mentioned that you're meeting Neil Adams at a comic convention there. When it comes to a young aspiring artist, do you think that portfolio reviews at conventions are still a good way to go, or is it more of a trying to find a through online methods?
I would say go to the artist that you love and respect, or people that, you know what I mean? Because online, the only danger is you get a lot of people that can say anything behind an anonymous keyboard,
right.
Valid or not. But when you go, if you're actually looking for feedback on your art or your project, it happens all the time, and we're happy to, most of us are quite happy to share what we know. You know, sometimes everything's going along except there's one fundamental maybe missing, or they're not running things left to right properly like they should in a comic, everything's going to go the wrong way. Things like that that you can easily recognize that might just turn a light bulb on. So I think there's definite value in bringing it up. Some folks I found don't like to do it. I don't mind, because the younger they are, the better, because I really like helping the young kids, but I think it's real value there for sure.
Cool. Greg, your thoughts on that?
I don't like looking at people's portfolios at conventions, but
okay.
I'll do it. But
okay.
It always makes me, because I'm a little bit, maybe I'm like, what do I know? Like, really, you don't need to listen to me. Just keep going. But I like to, you know, be encouraging, and I try and find a good thing and maybe something that they can work on. But I always, when I see them, anyone coming with a portfolio, I always feel a little bit of dread
right.
in it. Mostly because I've also been on the other side of it, and I've felt with the person telling me things like, you're an idiot. You know, like.
That's why you really got to qualify it to someone that you respect and not just someone you've never heard of.
Yeah, and I've seen friends of mine who are, you know, say a professional storyboard artist go and talk to a comic book editor, and the editor just tells them stupidness, and we're thinking, I'm already a professional artist,
yeah.
and you've just proven that you're just talking for the sake of talking, but I don't know. But I, you know, I like being encouraging, and like you were saying, when you see a younger kid, it's nice to see, and I've talked to a few kids already, like today,
yeah, me too.
And you know, I've got things that I will always tell her, which is just keep at it. Like, if you do a bad drawing, so what?
Right.
Don't put that one online.
Do another one.
Yeah, exactly. Do another one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Yeah, that's totally. And Manfred, do you think, as a writer, do you think conventions in place are a good place to possibly scout out our artists to work with, to collaborate with?
I think so. It's kind of what I did. I would go to Comic-Con and Fan Expo and these things. You know, you talk to people, and my angle was always, would you like to come into my school and do a presentation, and you know, meet with people, and that's important. And then, you know, you kind of get to know them, and you know, would they be open to that? You know,
right.
I always tell my students, look, you know, if you don't have a particular skill, surround yourself with people who do. sometimes that takes a little bit of humility for writers as well.
Right.
Yeah, you know, reviewing writing, I in my opinion, I think it's very similar to the artist in that you've got to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. I was an English teacher last year, and I read 160 essays one weekend on what grade nines think of true love.
Right.
So, you know, but you can see it, and I always tell my students, keep your old work, keep it, because you want to see change over time.
Progression, yeah.
And I can see that as a teacher with these true love essays from one beginning of the year to the end. There's progress, but again, it's perseverance and believing in yourself, and you know, you're gonna take it on the chin a few times, and you're not always gonna win, and that's part of it. So you know, deal with your when you lose, but know how to win as well.
Right.
And
you're still talking about true love? Maybe.
But yeah, this perseverance is key. You know, and keep your old stuff in the past. I like having my old stuff in the past. Sometimes I'm bored.
I cringe at my early work.
Oh, that's part of it.
Well, actually, we foolishly published our older work.
I know, it's out there. People
bring it doesn't go away.
It never goes away.
Well, yeah, well, I've had the opportunity, of course, to talk to a number of comic creators. A good friend of Geek Art of our show is comic creator Adam Gorham, who's based out of Mississauga. He had a quote that I thought was a really interesting thing to say to creators is, love everything that you, I think he was kind of abrupt with it. He said, hate everything you've done and love everything you're gonna do. Mm-hmm. Kind of always looking forward, never kind of hanging back on like, you know, your past work. You find sometimes it's hard though, like when you take pride in something you do, that possibly getting stuck in an artistic rut?
No, I don't think so. I think as an artist, you're always kind of growing and evolving. Every new comic or new style that I find, I don't know about you guys, but that I'm like, oh, I love the way he did the backgrounds here, or that the way he drew the smoke is amazing. And you wind up, even by osmosis, just incorporating a little bit of it. I think art is always moving forward, unless you're absolutely phoning it in and just hacking it out, right? But for me, I mean, I like to kind of, I'm always looking to see, you know, what new cool little effects or trends in the industry. Like, you think about it back in the days with the Image, and there was a million lines and a million and pads. We don't do that anymore, but for a long time, that really, everyone just kept taking that in a different direction, and sometimes art feeds off itself, right?
Right.
It can go awry in the Image days, but generally it moves forward, and it's to the better of everyone.
Right. Well, thankfully it did move out of that. Yeah, because people need to see feet drawn.
Yes, feet are nice.
Feet are nice, yeah.
Although there's that latest X-Men, there's a whole thing on the feet. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, no, I didn't see the latest X-Men.
We're going to
do that after the panel. Okay, cool. That's fantastic. Now, would you agree with that sentiment, Greg, that...
The feet are good?
Feet are good, yeah. No,
I walk on them every day.
No, but have you found that the enthusiasm for art is what keeps forward progression, or are you think that it is possible to get stuck in an artistic rut?
I think it's easy. It depends on what you're doing, right? Like I did a lot of storyboards for TV commercials for Lego.
Right.
And I was getting really tired of them because, because also with storyboarding, nobody except the animators really sees your work. It's not like the public sees it. So to like find a new way or an interesting way, it doesn't really matter. Plus also you're trying to meet the deadline. And so as a, say, a commercial artist, you're just trying to get the stuff out. Mm-hmm. When I've done, you know, and I still do stuff that, you know, someone's actually gonna see, the public's actually gonna see what I do. Yeah, it's, you know, you're pushing yourself and trying to do things, but for too long I was getting really tired of doing TV commercials. Also because the scripts were the same every time.
Right.
And it was getting tedious, and I was like, oh, I can't wait for this to end. And then unfortunately it ended, and now I'm like, I wish it was back. because of the paycheck.
No, but it's interesting to just talk about how that it's like, you know, when you have a goal to become like a doctor or to become like a lawyer or even to become, you know, just a mechanic or something, there's a set path on which you're supposed to take, but it seems like very much that comic creators, every which way, there is no real specific path, and it seems like every couple of years, there's somebody always trying to like, let's close up the area so that people can't get in that specific way anymore. Do you find that it's harder, or is it easier for these days artists to, you know, find a way into the business?
I think it's almost like what you just said, though. It's just as hard, but in different ways,
right.
Maybe.
Right, right, okay, yeah.
So back in the early 90s, late 80s, we didn't have the internet to get your work out there and be seen, and people can be discovered by having work online. But that doesn't mean that's going to work for everybody or that it's easy, right?
Right.
The work is still speaking for itself, it's just a different way, right?
I think it's just easier to find your marketplace now a little bit. If you could have the world's greatest comic 20 years ago, and if you're not going to shows, no one's going to see it. Whereas now, if you put it online, a few people stumble across it, you get the right guy that tweets it out to his crowd, the next thing you know, you've gone viral. And I think it's a little bit easier in that sense. That's true.
Sure. Your thoughts on that, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing with writing now too. You have all these venues to, you know, to publish your work. You can self-publish it on a blog or what have you. That's there, but I think there's this idea that, you know, you want to strive for some sort of recognition or building an audience or talking on a theme. And what I always found difficult, and a lot of people I know who write also do. Is there is writing when one is in the mood, and when you're inspired, and then there's writing when you have deadlines and you're sort of working for somebody. And for me, that didn't work out. That wasn't a path that I thought I would do. I wrote a column for an education website for a while, and when I started to say, what do I write about now? And I was going to more obscure things and trying to. I wasn't inspired to do that.
Right, so just content for the sake of content.
Yeah, so that I think that's a really big challenge, and I would almost split writers in two at that point, where, you know, you have the ones who, and I admire these people, are very talented, who come up with a column day in and day out, week in and week out for different issues, and I can't, you know, I have to really be inspired, and when that happens, it happens, and when it doesn't, it doesn't, and that's a real division there for people who want to get into writing, and
right.
You have to think very seriously about how you do that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, just want to ask each of you, when it comes to a young creator that's trying to first get into doing comics, what's a good piece of advice you can give for somebody who's just starting out, just starting to put their ideas together into the comics form? I know that's very broad.
There's so many ways.
There's so many things. I know.
For me, if I may, like,
yeah.
for the writing part, I like writing where I'm surprised. If I can see it coming down the road, whether it's in a movie or in a comic strip or whatever, if I see that, it's over for me.
Right.
So for the young writer, it would be to really think about what's driving your story and the characters that are driving the story. I never start writing the story by immediately. It's always the character development, developing everything around that character, and then putting them into a story.
Right.
For me, that's the advice that I would give.
Okay.
And it's all in the character, and then it's the story.
Fair enough. Right.
So for me, I guess it depends. Again, this is a very difficult question to answer without seeing the artist or whatever. Assuming the person wants to do sequential comic book art and
right.
not commercial art or something different, I would say you would need to arrange to try and get some scripts. Keep drawing, but make sure you try and draw scripts, because inevitably artists draw pinups and cool things that they want to draw, and they don't draw backgrounds, and they don't draw cars, and they don't draw the things that they're going to have to draw when they do comics, right?
Yeah.
You got to learn your perspective, all the basics, right? That you can hide with some cool style on pinups, but you cannot really hide when you start doing sequential pages.
Yeah, because some ways you have to draw buildings and cars and books
in perspective,
and stuff,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or something you don't want to draw.
Right.
Like when you're getting a script that someone has written, there might be sections that are like, oh, I don't want to do that. But it's good though to force yourself to do that.
Yeah.
right? And when you're making up your own stuff, you're able to avoid doing that stuff.
Of course.
And I remember interviews with, way back with Todd McFarlane, when he managed to get his own Spider-Man comic, he basically said, now I get to do just what I want to do. So that, you know, a writer writes, oh, have an army in this panel. And I don't want to draw an army because that's tough. I just, and it's like, you're just admitting you're lazy, right? But too bad, right?
Yeah. Like, that's the job, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to do what you want to do, or you've got to do what sometimes you have to do. Yeah. And maybe that's going to stretch you as an artist, and that's good.
Yeah, that's good. I want to add a little caveat, especially with the young. This is why it's a difficult question to answer, because right. I don't want someone who's not at that level to start trying to draw buildings, backgrounds, get frustrated and quit. And I want to be very adamantly about that. Right. So if you're at the level where you can handle it, yeah, but understand you're going to have to go that direction. But if you're a young person who just likes to draw, keep doing it. Keep the pencil moving is the best advice you can get.
Of course, because
right?
The more you draw, the more you'll get into it, the more better
but
you
But if you're at a certain level and you want to get sequential, then yeah, you have to do backgrounds perspective. But if do I want like someone who's 8 years old to start doing it tomorrow in a week and I'm like, this is too hard, I hate it. Drawing used to be fun, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's not.
Yeah.
But also what could happen there is then you get someone, say this young man's age, who's like, you know, I'm just gonna draw Wolverine and I'm just gonna draw Deadpool and stuff. And eventually they might just get start bored of that, go, you know what, I need a background on that, or I need a car.
True.
Or I need, because I think that's happened to me, because I know I was just filling sketchbooks with drawings of Marvel characters, but eventually it's like, this needs something else, and you're going to want to do it, and that's okay. So that goes with what you were saying, right?
Definitely. Well, no, that's all great advice. I want to know if anybody in the audience here has any questions for any of our panelists about comics. Yes, you?
Is it worth going to art school or like college?
I would say yes. I went to Sheridan in Oakville for animation, even though I wanted to do comic books. And the nice thing about doing that is just the work at school forced me to work. So you get better.
To do the backgrounds.
Yeah, and you know,
stuff you talked about.
So even though there may be classes you don't want, but it was like I had to do work and I just got better through that. You also meet people. There's still people that I went to school with that, you know, I talk to all the time, and you never know, like making those connections sometimes can really help. I know other people that, you know, through school, they've managed to work with or gotten a job because of who they knew in school. So you don't necessarily think that's gonna be helpful. Because of, you know, the type of work or the whatever class, but you're going to make connections that are going to help. And yeah, just art school is going to make you better. So I wanted to do comics, and animation was just what was there. But the other benefit was I picked up skills that I didn't know I needed later on. And I've done a lot of storyboarding, and you know, I got through that. Or started learning about that and filmmaking from school. So you may not necessarily think you're gonna get anything out of it. And I think there's like an immediately, oh, art school, what are they gonna teach you? And it's like, but there's other benefits that aren't immediately something you're gonna notice, right? I started my comic with Archilad with people that I went to, were friends of mine in college. I was doing my own little comic, and they're like, oh, I want to do some of that too. Oh, I want to do some of that too. And even one of the teachers was like, I want to do some of that too, right? And when we first started self-publishing, the company was all of us from college, essentially. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get out of it. So it's worth, for that reason, maybe worth doing.
I
agree with that, and I tell you yes for two reasons. One, because I'm a teacher and I'm in that system, and yes, you know that's gonna come from there. But for two other reasons, and one thing that you said, and I found this a lot when I was in school as well, is there's a lot of stuff that is not happening in the classrooms, but it's happening in the social world where people are. They're in bands, or they're putting together a magazine, or stuff that's so outside of things. And that's pretty cool, like where you meet up with people and you get involved in these side projects, and that's all right. And the other thing is sort of an education answer. We live in a world of certification and documents and stuff, and it's always good to have that in your back pocket to say, you know what, yeah, I've got the piece of paper that says I was there. I tell my students that's table stakes. You know, to get into the door, you've gotta have this, and then it's you. Then it's your talent. It's your initiative. It's how you've gone beyond things. What add value, creativity do you bring? Right. That's how the jobs really go. You know, the education, yeah, gets you in the door, but then it's you. Right. What kind of person are you? Do you persevere? What side projects do you do? How do you differentiate yourself? And that happens in these places, and not in the classroom, but in school.
So I'll be the cautionary tale, because I did not go to art school. But I self-taught myself a lot in the beginning. I think it's helpful, absolutely. And would I have gone, or do I wish I had? Sure, I think it would have been really cool. But I did not, and you can still get there without it. Took a lot of night courses, like Ty Templeton does comic specific cartooning. There's a lot of ways you can, to your point, still educate yourself. Art school is definitely helpful, but if you somehow don't get in, it's not game over. You can still get in.
Right, there's other avenues too.
And not everybody has the opportunity.
Right,
sure, either.
Right.
So
again, yeah, they don't
if you don't have that opportunity, it doesn't mean that you can't do it, but when you do have the opportunity, why not, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Or some people just can't afford it either, right? That doesn't mean that.
It's an asset, but not a requirement.
Yeah,
true.
There's a
yeah.
surprising amount of self-taught artists in comics.
Right.
And a lot of people are, you get jobs in comics through your portfolio, rather than do you have a degree in whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Of course.
You know, and so that's going to help. But like what you said, having doesn't hurt either.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of horrible, horrible teachers in art school too, right? still.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I think it comes down to your personality. You know, how driven are you? I got a friend, he writes songs, right? And he's like, you know, no one's heard my songs, and you know, I'm not published. I said, well, have you performed anywhere? Have you gotten out and you know, hustled and whatever? Well, no, not yet. Well, you've got it's your character, right? And you can make it. You can make it.
Of course. Any other questions? Right, go ahead. Yeah.
You were talking about how the internet's a benefit, but there must be a negative side to that too, with your work getting.
You get some pretty like comments that aren't maybe fair, or that people, you know, kind
but
of
how bad. Do you protect your like without your work getting
stolen
or
So I found actually like a couple of my things have been kind of yanked or someone redid it. And I find honestly, I think Adam Gorham, speaking of Adam, because he and I worked on the other show together, it was either Adam or Mike Ruth that just shot me a note being like, dude, this looks pretty familiar, and sent me a link. And I'm like, that is basically like he traced my image of a Spider-Gwen or something. And so in order to protect yourself, I just simply kind of threw it out to the comic art community and said, hey, wow, this looks pretty weird, eh? And I put mine in that one, and I kind of almost regret doing it, because people went after that guy so hard, and it got nasty in a hurry. They were like calling him a plagiarist and a trace, and like, so much so that he took everything down. Like he,
wow.
And I'll never do it again.
I know. So I hope you learned your lesson.
I did learn my lesson.
No, so I mean, I think you can, there's always that fear, and I think it's going to happen anyways. Like, you know, is your image going to be on maybe a t-shirt in China? Who knows, probably, right? You can't really worry about that too much, but when you become aware of it, the internet kind of releases itself sometimes on that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you're talking about getting an image or a concept, you know, out and out stolen, right?
Yeah, there's actually some legendary swipers that
kind
of become known now from the internet community because of the
even
fact
at shows,
that,
they have their. They literally, like Bruce Timm's drawings with a different guy's print. You're like, that's Bruce
Timm.
And I find that the comic art community is very good at policing and protecting itself.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. No, definitely. Any other questions?
I protect myself in that by not doing anything worth stealing. So
that is another avenue to
take. No,
yeah.
That's, and it's worked really well.
There you go. Did you have a question?
It's just like, I don't know, it's like about like 10 years ago, I had someone like posting like my comic.
I was, at first I thought, oh, this is great, he's gonna get what he deserved, but then it got like, it got pretty nasty, directed this guy, and I was like, okay, I remember wandering in saying, can we just make this a little more civil, like, I think he's learned his lesson.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
What, people being way too mean on the internet?
That never happens.
So is there any other questions to finish off here? No? All right, well, I want to thank our panelists for talking about
this
today, and thanks for talking about breaking out into the comic industry.
Thanks to all who participated in the panel event, and thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on iTunes, and please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. Encourage you to follow along at Twitter at TrueNorthComics, on Instagram at Instagram.com/TrueNorthCountryComics. And please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening, and come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2018.